Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Study of God podcast. This is episode number 36. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast is designed to give you a basic understanding of God Almighty, if I can, if that is even possible, the Bible, the Word of God, and Christian beliefs, the Christian faith. J. Dwight Pentecost said, "There is no higher activity in which the mind may be engaged than the pursuit of the knowledge of God." Let's start out reading the Word of God itself, as we should. Today's passage of Scripture is John 4:24, which reads, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Today's words from a theologian are from Origen. He said, "For whatever be the knowledge which we are able to obtain of God, either by perception or reflection, we must of necessity believe that he is, by many degrees, far better than what we perceive him to be." Our first topic for today is titled, "Did God Really Make Everything?" Part 3, from the book Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day by Dr. Daryl Aaron. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day. It is available on our website for just $25. Dr. Daryl Aaron continues, "The purpose of God in creation. God's purpose in creation is also clear. He made everything for his glory, and in this sense, all creation is first and foremost theocentric, rather, that is, about God. But it is likewise proper to say he made everything for humans, for us to live and thrive. Our environment provides air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat. Planet Earth is precisely the right distance from the sun for a life conducive temperature range, though we in Minnesota sometimes wonder about this in the winter," the author jokes. That God created this world for humans is also implied by the fact that Adam and Eve are the pinnacle of his creation. People were his last act of creation. In a secondary sense, then, creation is anthropocentric for humans. This all implies meaning and purpose in the existence of everything. This all is no convenient accident. There is a divine reason for what God made, for what is. And once more, even sin cannot keep him from fulfilling his purposes. In the world as a whole, or through humanity in particular. And dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next podcast. Our second topic for today is titled Theology of the Synoptics, Part 3, from the Moody Handbook of Theology by Dr. Paul Innes. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Moody Handbook of Theology. It is available on our website for just $50. Modern developments is next. Modern critical theories have arisen in which attempt is made to explain the human origin and production of the gospel writings. While this methodology can have some validity, and some conservative scholars employ these critical studies to understand the biblical records, there are inherent dangers. The explanations given here are a general explanation. They can be given a more liberal or a more conservative slant, depending on the writer. Historical criticism, when the text is obscure, scholars attempt to discover what actually happened to help clarify the narrative. This is done by noting discrepancies in parallel accounts, examining secular history material, noting whether some events actually happened, recognizing supernatural occurrences. Attempt is made to find a natural explanation. Invented stories by the church and other methods. A basic problem in historical criticism is that it approaches the Bible like any other book and acknowledges the possibility of error. In this sense, it is incompatible with the doctrine of biblical inspiration. Source criticism attempts to identify the sources used in writing the Synoptic Gospels and identify their relationship to the Gospels. For example, where there are duplicate accounts of a story, an attempt is made to explain a literary connection or an underlying source. Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 is cited in suggesting Mark used another source in which verses 11 and 12 were not present. Agreement in wording also suggests there is a common underlying source. Advocates of source criticism suggest the writers used a common source to which they adhered, but felt the freedom to add detail and were not worried about precision in historical details. The problem with source criticism is twofold. It tends to ignore the divine element in inspiration and acknowledge error. It is built on conjecture without any demonstrable proof of underlying sources. Next, form criticism. Rudolf Bultmann was one of the pioneers of form criticism that regarded the Synoptic Gospels as folk literature. The Gospel writers, according to Bultmann, actually collected and edited material and wrote the way the church traditionally understood the events rather than writing historically accurate events. Form criticism thus builds on source criticism and attempts to explain how Mark and Q arose. Mark is a product of the early church, which embellished the life of Christ. Matthew and Luke use Mark with additional embellishments to form their Gospels. They were not historical, Matthew and Luke, but second century writers. Therefore, most of the Gospels do not contain historical data, but are embellishments of the early church. The embellishments occurred to encourage suffering Christians. These inventions became indistinguishable from historic fact. In our next episode, we will continue looking at the theology of the Synoptics, and we will wrap up this last section much better, and so that you'll understand that the Word of God is the Word of God. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for being there and for being here. For the truth is, we cannot make it without you, even those who think they can. Forgive us of our sins, our pride, our stubbornness, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to do your will and to share your holy gospel and your holy word with others, so that they may come to know you as Savior and get their lives changed and turned around. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Beloved, before we close, I want to remind you that while it is important to engage in the study of God, it is far more important that you have a relationship with God. I fear that there are many people who will die knowing a lot about God, but not really knowing God. You don't want to be in that number. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to get to know Him today, here's how. Accept the fact that you are a sinner, and that you have broken God's law at some point in your life. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Jesus Christ. If He is not your Savior, that's where you're headed, according to the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states very clearly in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Yes, I know, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said Himself in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, because if you are still living in this world, God loves you. So for God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, that includes you, believeth in Him, trusts in Him, has faith in Him, Jesus Christ, should not perish in a place called hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him in heaven. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Dear friend, pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and He will. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you until we meet again.